You know, in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah writes this. He says in chapter 43, verse 18, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past." Man, we meet here today to forget the elementary school, right? To not dwell on the past, to dwell on what God is doing new. And even all of you today, we bring in stuff from the past. I want you to hear what the Lord says. "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." What a glorious statement. Streams in the wasteland, streams in the desert. Church, God wants to do something new. A lot of you are here this morning because you're looking for something new that God wants to do in your life. Now, I want to give you just some advice. It's not the walls and the newness that God is doing in this building. The glory of Jesus Christ is that he wants to do a new work in your heart and in your life. And you know, it's almost been 5 years ago that I stood up and preached my first sermon in front of Fellowship Church. Who was here that day that I preached my first sermon? Yeah, man, praise the Lord. Who wasn't here that day? Praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord for what he's done over the last 5 years. And I've had this sermon on my heart and this message on my heart for like a month. And as I've been studying and praying and preparing, I've realized, man, I recognize this a little bit too much. So I got on my computer and looked back to have I ever preached this before. And I've preached it one time before on the very first day that I became a pastor of this church. So I think, man, it's more than coincidence. And when God is doing something new in my life, he's brought me to this passage. We want to see what new thing he's doing today. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 1. I have no idea what's going to come from my mouth this morning. In fact, I'm going to use a different translation than what's in your message notes today. And so bear with me, man. Write down what you want to write down. Let's see what God has for us. Revelation chapter 1, starting in verse 1. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near." Praise the Lord, right? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, there's nothing that drives me a little more crazy when people talk about the book of Revelations. It's not the book of Revelations. It's not a book about a crazy-looking locust that flies around and stings people. It's not about a rider on a pale horse or a black horse or a red horse. The revelation is one. It's singular. The person, the Lord, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's what's revealed. Isn't that incredible? That from the time that the foundations of the earth were laid, God has been revealing to us the person and the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, how many of us sitting in this room are waiting on something to be revealed that will, oh, that changes everything in my life now that it's been revealed? Some of us are waiting on our kids to grow up and then, oh, once they're adult, they're going to finally respect me and that'll be revealed and I'll be the father that I've been called to be. Maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't happen. Some of you are waiting on a car to be designed and thinking, okay, now this has been revealed and now my life is complete. Some of you are waiting on what Apple is going to produce next. And so, okay, I've got the new iPad and now everything has been revealed that I need to have revealed. That's not what the Bible says. That there's one revelation and it's in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, some of you today looking for something new, here it is. It's Jesus. It's him. Church, it doesn't get better than the cross where Jesus died to forgive us from our sins, for our sins. It doesn't get better than the resurrection where he rose from the dead to give us life, to enable us to walk in new life. It doesn't get better than the fact that one day the clouds will be rolled back like a scroll and Jesus is going to come again and his glory is coming with him. That is awesome. That's the revelation. Now, what do we do with that? Now, when I was like 16 years old, I started dating girls until I was about 21 years old. Anybody ever been on a date before? Yeah, absolutely. How many of you just glad you're past that age of your life, right? Praise the Lord, rapture me now, because that's what's going to happen. I'm happy that age is past. You know, for me, dating was like a tryout to see what was the real deal. And I'd sit across a dinner table with a girl and say, ooh, she's got potential, you know. She didn't spill her salad all down the front, so that's nice. We're carrying on a conversation. That's a good thing. But when I met Elizabeth, it was different. Man, I sat across from her and thought, there is something new about this girl. I don't know what it is. But woohoo, yes. Thank you, Lord. Maybe she'll go out with me tomorrow night as well, and maybe the next night as well. And I tell you what, when I met her, I wanted to grab hold, and I didn't want to let go for the rest of my life, because I had found it. This was the pinnacle. What's different about her? She likes me, right? She likes me too. Yes, this is great, and I'm not going to let go, because this is the best that I've found. And we're searching in our life for something to be revealed, and we go from one thing or another. But the Bible makes it clear, Jesus Christ has been revealed, and that is the pinnacle, church. And us as worshipers, we grab hold and we don't let go. And we realize as we seek the Lord with all of our heart that he has been seeking us, that he's been pursuing us. Man, I love how great the Lord is. You know, the last few weeks, so much has been made of our cell phone intrusion. The government is listening to our conversations. And I'm sure somebody just wasted a week of their life listening to my cell phone conversations this past week. You know, oh, nothing is new in Kyle. He's called every permit person he can call, every city engineer he can call. They're still trying to get a building down there, right? And it's an intrusion because it's this big secretive thing. Oh, it's secret, and we don't want them listening in on our phone conversations. That's not right. But here's the difference with the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's out there in the open for you to have, for all to see. It's never been secret. Man, from the beginning of time until now, God is saying, here is what is revealed. You can make it your own. You can embrace Jesus Christ. In verse 4, John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. And we know throughout Scripture that the number seven is always important. All numbers are very important in Scripture. And every time we see the number seven, we see completion. We see perfection going on in the eyes of the Lord. And so certainly John is writing to seven real churches in the time that he lived in, but he's also writing to the complete, perfect, universal church, which is us. So it's not a stretch of the imagination right here to address this letter like this. John, to the Fellowship Church at Plum Creek in Kyle, Texas. Church, this is for us. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Now that's the way you start a letter, right? What an incredible beginning right here. Grace and peace to you in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it should say greetings right there in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, when you read it in the Greek, there's really a play on words right here between greetings and grace and peace to you. John did this on purpose to signal, no, this isn't just a greeting. This is more than a greeting. This is grace and peace to you, right? Now, how many of you, when you walked in this morning, you just greeted one another? Hey, what's happening? Now, I've been made fun of, I'm not to put one person on the spot, but Eric Peruca, the man with the beard, right, our project manager, we've talked on the phone multiple times a day for the last 10 months regarding this building project. And I guess he had had enough about a month ago, because every time he calls, I say, you know, good afternoon, Eric, or I say, good morning, Eric, you know, how can I help you? What's going on? So about a month ago, I answered. I said, "Good morning, Eric. How are you?" He said, "Jonathan, just for once, I want you to answer the phone. I want you to say something like, you know, what up or something like that. You don't have to be so formal all the time. I've been calling you for 10 months. So, you know, several weeks ago, I was in a meeting and it was all kind of somber. And we were just talking and sharing about the Lord. And I see Eric's number pop up on my phone. So I answer to say, "What up, dog? What's going on?" And everybody looked at me like, "What's happened to our pastor? What's he doing?" You know, when we greet each other today, we're saying, you know, "I hope you're doing well. I hope that life is going well." That's what the greetings mean. You know, has it been a good day? Has it been a bad day? I'm trying to feel out everything. When John writes this at the beginning of Revelation, he's saying grace and peace to you right where you are. Grace and peace of God are available to you. Can you imagine this letter being sent forth? Can you imagine the other Christians in this time that John is writing this letter? They're being persecuted. They're being thrown to lions in the Colosseum. They're being hung on crosses. They're being beaten because they love Jesus Christ. And can you imagine a guy underneath the Colosseum? He's about to be fed to the lions and he's behind these bars. And another Christian coming up to him, he says, "We've got news from John the Apostle." "Great, what is that news?" "Grace and peace to you. Right where you are. It's available for you." See, it's this idea that no matter what your circumstances, the grace and the peace of the Lord can rest upon you and change who you are, the revelation of Jesus Christ. How does that work? Grace and peace to you from Him who is and who was and who is to come, the Father Almighty. You remember when Moses stood before the burning bush and the Lord is speaking to him from that bush that is on fire but doesn't burn up? He says, "Lord, who am I to go to the people? And when they're going to ask me who sent me to them, what do I say? What is your name?" "You tell them I am sent you, that I am who I am. I have been who I have been. I will be who I will be. I am eternal, present, always with you." What an incredible name of the Lord. This is one of my favorite aspects of who God is, this timeless aspect of God. And do you see this covering over our lives, church? Right? The God who was, who is, and who is to come, that we see things so linearly, don't we? Right? I was born in the 70s, and right now, here I am, and then tomorrow, it's another day, and I see it drawn out on this line. And I see, okay, in the Bible, that 6,000 years ago, God was placing Adam and Eve on the earth, and then fast forward 4,000 years, and here's Jesus dying on the cross. And then fast forward 2,000 years, and here am I sitting in this church building today. We see time in that fashion. But the Lord sits on a throne, high and exalted over that. He just is over that. And one of my favorite sayings we could say of the Lord, that at the same time that Adam and Eve are being created in the garden and Jesus is dying on the cross and we're here today, it all just is for God. At the same time, that's His glory and His majesty. But we can't even use that terminology because we can't say time. He just is over it all. And so many of us sit here today and say, "Oh, Jonathan, in my past, I have this problem and it's drug along behind me like bad luggage, man, that just follows me everywhere that I go and I can't get rid of it." And the voice of the Lord says, "I am the God who was. I was in your past. And those bad things that you don't like, watch how my power can redeem those and use those for my glory. And those good things from your past, look how I glorify those and make those even better." Yeah, but Lord, today is so stressful. I don't know if I'm going to speak the right words today. I don't think I can follow you today. But I am the God who is. And you watch how my spirit can fall on you when you seek me with all of your heart and be empowered in your life. Oh, but God, I'm struggling about what tomorrow is going to bring. I don't know if tomorrow is going to bring what I like or not. But I hold tomorrow in my hands. I am the God who is to come. You can trust me and lean on me. Well, doesn't that take the pressure off? God, praise you for who you are. Grace and peace to you. The God who is, who was, who is to come. And from the seven spirits, or from the sevenfold spirit before his throne. See, again, we see that number seven in completion, in perfection, surrounding the throne of God in the fullness of the power of the Spirit, waiting for the voice of the Father to beckon the power of the Spirit to be in our lives, waiting to fill us up and to use us. Now, this will get me going right here, church, but the same Spirit that hovered over the waters when the Lord spoke it into creation, that same Spirit that empowered Moses to lift up his rod and that Red Sea parted to his right and to his left, the same Spirit that Elijah stood up and spoke and fire consumed from heaven, consumed the sacrifices that he had built, that same Spirit that on the day of Pentecost rested on the heads of the disciples like tongues of fire, that same Spirit is around the throne of God waiting for him to give the word to say, yeah, that one right there, Jonathan, empower him with my power. Be in his life, in strength, and in the fullness of courage that I want to give him. Grace and peace to you from him who was and is to come, from the power of the sevenfold Spirit around my throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. What a name, right? Here's Jesus Christ. Here's how we describe his name, the faithful witness. How many of you have ever had somebody talk bad about you, right? Everybody, of course. Doesn't that just stink when people talk bad about you? Unfortunately, in the history of not only our church, but every church, people will get under the skin of others and they'll talk bad about them, right? Because they're talking about things that they don't understand. And sometimes they're speaking the truth that you just don't want out there, but they're ready to blab it everywhere. Sometimes they're just speaking lies because they don't know the full truth. But it says of Jesus Christ that he is our faithful witness. Do you know what the job of Jesus is right now? He stands before the throne of his Father and testifies on our behalf. Dad, you see that one? Yeah, Jonathan. You see how my blood is covering over his sin? Yeah, that one. Do you see how, even though he really messed up this morning, how he's seeking you this afternoon? That's the one. He's mine. I've covered him with my blood. He's walking in the power of the resurrection. Grace and peace to you. The faithful witness, Jesus Christ, testifies on our behalf. He says this, not only is he the faithful witness, he's the firstborn from the dead. You know, church, we have a future where a grave is not going to be able to hold us in, but where the voice of the Lord is going to call us forth from the grave and we'll be in glory with the Lord forever. Praise the Lord. Where do we learn that from? Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead. Some of us say, well, I want to walk in the power of a resurrected life. Where do we do that? We do that because of Jesus. We know how to do that because of Jesus. In the power of Jesus Christ, we understand how to throw off our grave clothes and walk in his glory on this earth. In the power of Jesus Christ, we understand that the grave cannot hold us any longer, that sin doesn't have power over our lives. Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead. I mean, people try to find that life anywhere outside of Jesus. You can't do it because he's the firstborn from the dead. He is where it starts, the fountainhead. Grace and peace to you. Not only from the firstborn from the dead, but from the ruler of the kings of the earth. You know what my life has been like for the past month? Well, we need to get this done on the building, and so I need you to call such and such to do so and so, okay? So I call them, you know, boop, 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 okay. I got you on the phone, great. We want to put in a sprinkler system, and we're ready to draw the permits. Okay, great. Let me call somebody, and I'll call you back tomorrow. Okay, wonderful. So 2 days pass and we get a phone call. Great. I called this other person and they're going to call some other people and you should hear in a few days. Okay, great. Okay, we get a call in a few days. This is going to have to go before a planning and zoning committee meeting. That's great. Okay, wonderful. All right, in a few more days, well, planning and zoning met about it. It's going to have to go before city council and they're going to decide and put their gavel down in it. Great. Okay. Are you kidding me, right? Layer after layer after layer after layer. It continues to go. And that's just our city. And Jesus Christ, the ruler of the kings of the earth, rests above it all. Isn't that amazing? And then I think about our government and how we've got senators, we've got congressmen, we've got the Supreme Court, we've got a president, and they all meet together and they all try to get on this one accord. And we have a ruler in Jesus Christ above all the kings of the earth. And I see how we have tried to put together this United Nations to have wisdom and help balance out everything in the nations of the earth. But we have a ruler in Jesus Christ above it all and through it all and in it all, where the buck stops here. And he loves us and he testifies on our behalf and his blood speaks in our defense. Church, that is amazing. Grace and peace to you in Jesus Christ. Why do we try to be stable based on what's going on around us? We can't be. But right where we are, grace and peace are available to us. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve as God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. And literally, to him who has loosed us, who has set us free like the shackles falling off, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Now, fathers, how many of you today for Father's Day are going fishing? It's a sad Father's Day, right? Because here's the real question. How many of you wish today you were going fishing? Anybody? Oh, yeah, the hands are everywhere. Absolutely. You know, this is just like, I even had other people raising their hand. That's right. This is just how the Lord works. So 7 years ago, I lived in Rockport, Texas, in the fishing capital of the state of Texas. And it was nothing every day for people. Okay, we're going to talk about the Lord. Let's go out on the bay. So you find yourself in waist-deep water, casting your line out into the water, looking to hook this gigantic redfish, which is like a bass that's been taking steroids for a long time, right? They're underneath the water, lifting weights. Man, a big old redfish, you could reel in for like 10 minutes, and it'll take your line out. It's the greatest thing. But I'm not a local to Rockport, and I could never get in waist-deep water and get a redfish off my line without him getting into the water and being free. Just drove me crazy. So after the first month, I realized I need a landing net to get this fish. And so I would put the landing net between my arm and between my body, and I would hold it here right where it was above the water, and the fish would be there on the hook, and I would just drop my reel into the salt water. So I didn't know what to do with that. And I'd reach both of my hands down into the net, and I've got this fish hooked in his mouth, and I would try my best to get it off, and if he escaped and jumped out of my hands, he's still in the net. I gotcha, right? And so many of us are hooked just like this, right? And we got that sin on us that we just know pulls us in a direction that we don't want to go. And you know what that is in your life. And some of us have tried for so long to be set free, and some of us, through counseling and through help from friends, have even been able to remove a hook from our life, only to realize, no, there's a net that's been surrounding me the whole time. And we're in this mighty ocean that God has created for us that goes all over the earth, but we're stuck. The Bible says that's the ugliness of our sin, that it's kept us trapped. But by the glory of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are loose. And everything that is inhibiting us and the chains that have kept us in shackles for so long have dropped away. We have been loosed because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Church, even why I'm here today standing in front of you is that the blood is between you and me, enabling me to stand up here today. You see in this passage right here that everything centers around the blood of Jesus. See, it says that he's made us to be a kingdom and priests. Do you know that he's made you to be a kingdom of priests? Well, isn't like a priest holy? Yeah. But doesn't like a priest help people get over their sin? Yeah. Wouldn't a priest like give money to somebody on the side of the road? Yeah. Wouldn't a priest like his whole life is about worshiping the Lord? Yeah. He's made you to be a kingdom of priests, but look, it's from the blood. It's all because of the blood. He's made you to serve his God and Father. That whole thing there is thanks to the blood. He is calling you to serve, calling you to lay down your life, calling you to live your life for him. To him be glory and power forever and ever. We get to share in this victory of the cross and the victory of the resurrection like siblings share in victory together. We share in that with Jesus Christ. Look, he is coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. And we'll mourn because we'll realize in that moment, God, I haven't given you the entirety of my life. Even those who spat in his face, even those who rejected him will see, even those who pierced him. It doesn't say, hey, maybe one day soon this is going to happen again. It doesn't say, well, let's just get around and let's just pretend that Jesus is coming back again. This is the prophetic present tense right here. This is them speaking about the future as if it's already happened and is happening right now. Look, he's coming in the clouds. Look, Jesus was born of a virgin Mary. We knew he was incarnated. We were witnesses to that. Look, he died on the cross. He rose from the dead. We're witnesses to that. Look, he is coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him. You can count on it. You can bank on it. It will happen, and all glory will be to Jesus. You know, I see in faces out there, and I've seen it for the last 6 months, there's some of you that were doubting that we were going to be in here today, right? I know who you are. I see you smiling at me. Some of you didn't believe that we were going to be here. So you went home to your lunch table. You said, oh, Jonathan told us we were going to have a new building. That'll be the day, right? Don't think it's ever going to happen. But we're here, church. We might have waited a long time, but we're here. It happened. The walls are up. The carpet is down. We're here. And one day, just like this day is a reality, one day we're going to see something in the clouds. What's going on up there? They're being rolled back like a scroll. What is it? It's Jesus. He's coming for us. It's reality. You can count on it, church. It's going to happen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, the A and the Z, the beginning and the end, who is and who was and who is to come. And so Moses stands before a burning bush and says, God, what is your name? We don't know what it is. I am, Moses. You tell them, my name is I am. And so Jesus stands before people that are hungry and he says, listen, I am the bread of life. You can trust me. You can feast on me and be filled. So Jesus stands before people who are stuck in darkness and he says this, I am the light of the world. Follow me. See by me. Jesus stands before people that don't know how to have a relationship with him, with God. He says this, I am the gate. Open and come through me. Jesus stands before people that are saying, does God even love us anymore? Where has he been all of our life? And Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and they know that I love them. Jesus stands before people, they say, we don't know if we can even walk in your ways, Jesus. And he stands up and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if anyone wants to come before the Father, they come through me. Jesus stands before people that says, I don't know, Lord, if we can be sustained in this life before you. And he says, I am the vine. You abide in me and I will abide in you. Jesus stands before people that have lost everything, even their dearest loved ones, and say, God, it feels like death is upon me and I can't escape the tomb. And he stands before them and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that dies will live when he is in me. Even though he dies, you can find life in me. And even as we sit here today and we wonder, God, when will that time come? He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end, the one who is and who was and who is to come. Trust in me. Put your faith in me. And let's live this life together. So, Father, we love you and we worship you and we thank you that you are a God who is I am. And we thank you, Lord, that not only can you redeem our past and not only are you with us right now in our present, but that God, one day soon, as you hold the future in your hands, you'll be riding back for us on a horse of white. So, Father, whether we see that day in this life or whether you call us up from the grave, we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus, how we long for that day to be reality. God, we love you so much. Thank you, Jesus, that there's power in your name. Lord, we give you praise because we look around at these walls, we look at these chairs, at this carpet, and we realize, God, that you have been at work. There is no reason and no way to explain this other than your life. So thank you, Jesus Christ. May your ways and your work and your life be real in our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. What do you think? Isn't this awesome? Praise the Lord. For those of you that weren't able to make it to the ribbon cutting, we just started sharing stories of amazing things that God has done. Even from this past week, to say we need the church building cleaned and 150 people show up to clean the building. We need grass put out, and we put out 51 pallets of grass in under 5 hours of time. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of manpower right there. God has been good. He's been so good. We encourage you to walk around to see the things that the Lord is doing. You know, the most special thing that he's doing is right in our hearts. We are going to start a 4-week series next week in 1 Corinthians on worship, what it means to be a true worshiper of the Lord. So I hope that you can join us next week. God be with you, church. God bless you.